5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on.
The all-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, 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 good evening and one and all, and welcome to the new Panic Room episode 301 on the 23rd of February 2023. So at 11 o'clock tonight, it's going to be 23, 23, 23 or some bullshit like that, but who cares, really? It's just numbers, which, you know, meaningless, abstract, if you like. But speaking of meaningless and abstract... Hello. It's funny because last week was all exciting because it was 300th show, and it's 301. It's like, you know, it's so long here now before the next. So when is the next milestone? Is it 400?
I would say 350 sounds good. Yeah.
Nah, not 350. Nah, that's going to be 400. No. It's like two years. Oh, do you think we'll still be doing this in 2 years' time?
I can't see. I think we're going to be like the last podcast on the earth or something. And I think we will definitely still be doing it.
However, there's great authors out there, and we're still breathing.
Yeah.
I don't see why not. You know, we have a good time.
Exactly.
And this is the thing, because it's different every week, and we, even when we have returning guests, because they talk about different stuff. And I've said it before, I'm gonna say it again. I remember back in the early days, telling you, the minute I got bored, this wasn't fun anymore. This was like after about show six, that we I'd pack in. So probably testimony to you for keeping it fresh. We are 301 episodes in, and I look forward to. I'm tired tonight, I have to say. I've had a long week, I have to say. And I'm tired now, but as soon as we get on the air, it's exciting.
Yes,
exciting.
I feel the same way. There are days that I weeks that I'm like, oh gosh, we have to do the show tonight. I'm tired, and I just could go to bed. And then we get on the show, especially when the music starts up, I get all excited. So, and I have to say that the 96 Tears, especially the version you always play, I love it so much. I actually set it to, I have a playlist, and it's just that song, over and over and over again. So, there's that. It's a good song. So, you can't just hear it once. You have to play it over and over again. And, But yeah, I get all excited when we, the music comes on, especially the banjos there, and
of
I'm
course,
just, I don't think we've ever had a show that we get done and I'm like, oh man, I'm glad that's over. Never, I'm always like, excited.
I have. to be fair, and it's always down to me, either I'm tired or not, I just not feeling it, and no reflection on our wonderful guests, it can be, sometimes even, that can't lift me, I'm good. I'm enjoying it, having a good time, it's kind of the beginning of the countdown to the weekend. We've only got tomorrow to go, and then we get the weekend.
Yes.
So yeah,
I can't wait. It's been usually after the holidays, we have a little bit of breathing room where we're like, oh, it's holidays are over, we can breathe, and we have not had that yet this year. I'm feeling like we could both use like a month vacation, that would be nice.
I planned to take January to work on some of my own stuff, and then things happened work-wise and personal-wise as well, but threw that into a cocked hat, as we say in Britain, and here we are. February's all but done. And I haven't achieved any of what I'd wanted to achieve. Two months of the year's gone, and I'm just sat thinking, well, what the fuck,
Yeah, I'm gonna start making out my Christmas cards already, because before we know it.
I'm thinking we might as well just let the fucking tree up, because all the malarkey of taking it down. Oh dear me. I think we've decided for this Christmas. Here we are talking about Christmas. Me and the kids have decided, you know, my daughter's angling for a fake tree. You know,
one with
the sort of lights built in. So I think we may do that.
It saves time, yeah. Although 2 years ago, we have a fake tree and it's got the lights built in and whatever. And 2 years ago, we had one light blown. And I'm the kind of person that I'm like, you know, whatever, it's just one light. You know, the husband is not. We spent hours trying to figure out which one.
Oh,
you did not.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he did. And he got them all working again. And so, but yeah, it was like hours. And for me, like I said, I'm just one of the people who'd be like, oh, I guess this is just what we're doing. We got one less light on the tree. It's fine. Not him.
Well, we had the lights that you string up. And yeah, we had a set where for some reason, like there's like a section in the middle just weren't working. And I was happy that I just took that round the back because now we had to get a new bloody string of lights, didn't we? You know, so.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So, anywho, we've got, I presume, a very exciting, I have no idea, very exciting show going on. So, tell us what we've got coming up, Xtina.
We do.
I mean,
I'm excited.
If you're not bothered, I
feel like we're going to just have like a little home show this evening. We have a guest on who is a contributor to one of our anthologies and, you know, he's done other wonderful things. And I'm just so excited to talk to him and just talk all things horror. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And
yay!
Yeah. So let's
bring him on, shall we? Why not?
All right. Our guest of the evening, we have horror writer Alex Reed.
Hello.
Hey, everybody. Hey,
Alex. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
I'm tired. You're lucky I'm not doing the show from my bed. Actually, if I could. In fact, you know, I could. I could have just taken the laptop to my bed and just done it from it. Do you know, we should do that.
Yeah.
We should do a bed issue, you know. Just do our bedroom.
I'm in my
PJs already, so that definitely... Oops. Yeah, yeah, so it could be a bed show. I don't know. I mean, we are rated R. Different.
Yeah, I love bed. It's my favorite place to be.
Oh, I know. And, you know, there is nothing worse than in the morning when people say it's time to get up. And I'm just like, why would you do that to me? Yeah, I do. Yeah, I enjoy the bed and sleeping. And it's just wonderful. And then we have to get up and be adults. And it sucks. I mean, we should be able to sit around and just write horror and like maybe watch horror movies and wouldn't that be great?
people just give us money. We don't have to work for it. They just give us money, and that would be great. I would like them. Just say, here you go, Jim. You're a nice guy. Have lots of money, and just write what you want. You know, instead of having to ghostwrite for other people to pay the bills. You know, just give me the money. You know, don't expect anything. Just give the money to me. Crowdfund me. That's what I need to be crowdfunded. And I think we should set up a crowdfund for me. What do we get? Nothing. Just give him the money because he's a nice
just
bloke.
Give the money. Yeah, exactly. Yes, I agree.
What was that, Alex?
I would like to.
We could set you up a Kickstarter.
Do it. The problem with that is that I'd be expected to actually do something, and I don't want to. I just want people to give me money for nothing.
Just be happy. That's all you got to do. And then
there you go. Kickstarter to make me happy. And obviously the more that's the thing. You can have one of those little thermometer things like we used to do, you know. And the more money I get, the happier I am. And you're gonna get Jim to level 100 in happiness level. That would work for me. We should set that up and see how well that goes.
Every day I wake up, I just debate being homeless. I think that would work for me.
Yeah.
Well, you see, that's the problem. I kind of like, you know, having, you know, somewhere to live. I just call me old fashioned, all, you know.
So Alex is here to talk to us about his short story in Kids Are Hell. That's an anthology put out by Hellbound Books. And I have to say, it's a great anthology. And I love the cover. I was just taking a look at it again and going, that's a really creepy, you know, kids really are creepy. You know, anytime you got some little...
Kids are terrible.
They're evil things.
Yeah. I've actually told my kids that. I've said don't have children because children are just fucking, they'll ruin your life and they're awful. They really are.
That's
terrible,
true.
Terrible. You know, they're just like people but smaller. But yeah, kids are just, yeah, I'm not having kids. No.
I had some, you have them though. But you, yeah,
shut up.
You can't
prove shit.
Someone said to me recently, you know, about what blessings children are, and I was like, do you have
Fuck
children?
Off. Yeah, exactly. The only people that say that are people who don't have kids. You know, just seriously, fuck off.
Yeah.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
I don't have kids yet, but probably soon.
Yeah. Oh, well, hey, have puppies. Puppies are far better. To be fair, why the hence the inspiration for the Kids Are Hell anthology, because indeed kids are hell, and there are some phenomenal stories in there. One of which is mine, I have to say, plump for my own story. Well, I mean, it's got some tremendous reviews. I mean, obviously, a big shout out to Teresa Scott Matthews, who compiled and edited the whole thing, picked out some absolutely, you know, mind-blowing stories. Which brings up, Alex, tell us about your story, mate.
So it's called Nathan's House, and pretty much it's just about this kid, and he's a little bastard. So he kills his father, who was like a, you know, just like a master dog trainer, and then he ends up taking over the house with his dogs. And this kid has like 14 dogs, a lot of fucking dogs, right? So he invites all of his friends over, and he sort of creates this little dystopian kingdom with the dogs that he's trained. And, you know, if the kids act up, he just sticks his dog, like, you know, sets the dogs on them, and they sort of tear him apart. And that's pretty much the story.
We have evil children and evil dogs. So, you know, that's, you know, something for everyone there. And I was going to, you know, give a shout out to dogs and say, at least, you know, with kids being such jerks, you know, your dog is never going to say, you know, your dog will never call you bruh, you know, I mean, but your kids, they're gonna.
Bruh.
That's why. Yeah. Yeah. So,
well, my daughter calls me Toots. If I ask her to do something, she you got it, Toots, she says.
Oh my gosh, that's kind of cute. Yeah. I kind of like that, yeah.
Seriously, she'll say, you got it, Toots. And so it depends what mood she's in. You know, sometimes it's fatty or old man. She likes calling me old man. Or the kids delight. A few months ago, they were measuring each other because obviously they're growing and what have you. And my son's 5, whatever the hell he is. My daughter's just gone past 5 foot now. And let's measure dad. They said, how tall? It's on my, I've got my driver's license, on my citizenship application, you know, what I always have been, you know, 5'7" and a half all these years. They measured me and I've shrunk 1.5 inches. so they now call me Shrinky, which is kind of cute, I think. But again, I remember back when I back in high school studying biology, you know, my biology teacher explained that as you get older, yes, you do shrink because the discs between your vertebrae compress. And you do actually, and I thought, yeah, right. And it's happening to me. Old age is happening to me now. This is terrible. You know, but yeah, it's funny. You know, I obviously, I people know. You know, I speak to people, certainly in the sort of dating realm, and you know, questions always turn to, you know, what medication are you on? It's like, well, nothing. You know, and they're like, looking at like, what are you, some sort of fucking alien? You know, because men, again, not being indelicate, men of my age, you know, they at the very least need little blue pills to, you know, get things going. I was speaking to a lady just the other day, actually, and she once dated a guy, and this mate, I nearly threw up, actually. We dated a guy, and sort of 20 minutes before, you know, sexy times, he had to inject his, you know, he had to inject his stick of needle. I mean, to be fair, that would be an instant, it would have the total opposite effect to me. It's just like, no, I just wouldn't bother. Nothing is worth that. No, I just, ew.
Yeah, sounds awful.
Yeah, right?
So yeah, let's get back to Kids Are Hell, and you know, I don't know what happened just now, but... But, you know, we should do an anthology about old people. That would be really fun. Yeah. There's a lot to work with there.
Oh,
yeah.
Write it down. Yes, we can have old people a hell. I love it.
Yeah.
That'll be next year's roster. Old people or just old people are bastards or something like that. That'd be great.
Yes. Yeah. Get off my lawn. There we go.
Get off my
lawn. Oh gosh. So yeah, I definitely want to hear more about Nathan's House. Alex, I think we had an excerpt that you were going to read for us.
Yeah. Let me pull it up right
Yay.
Here. All right.
Get to drink more wine when you read.
That's great anytime. So this is just a little bit after like the beginning. He's sort of just showing up, Nathan is, and just sort of telling these kids what's going to happen. I'm probably a bad, like, public reader. That's why they don't hire me to do audiobooks. So
can't be as bad as me, so go ahead.
You can just tell me to shut up anytime. But, so here we go. Good morning, all. Nathan let the words come out with an authoritative boom that he did his best to keep mirthful and benevolent. Slowly, the kids on their makeshift beds rose to look at him. Nathan took note of the ones he thought might have only been pretending to sleep. He thought the way they rubbed their eyes would give away the pretenders. I'm sorry for our friend Ben. He was a good kid, but he was jealous and greedy. Y'all saw him last night at the feast. Nathan took this chance to step out into the room, with the sunlight shining on the specks of dust in the air, his two Newfoundland dogs at his heels. Every child kept their mouth tightly closed and their eyes on Nathan. Ben was going to hurt me, and he was going to tell on us. If not for me, you all would be sitting in a classroom right now learning about geography. You would have had to wake up before the sun came up, just like all the other kids. A heavy silence hung over the room. Nathan wondered when they would recognize the chance at better lives they had been given. The silence made him want to unleash his dogs on a lot of them, show them how bad their lives could really be. He swallowed his anger, grimacing as it went down and took another step into the room. Nathan had gotten used to his authority. He didn't even realize he hadn't changed into his clothes and was addressing the other kids in just his boxers. If the other children had noticed, no one dared say anything. That was something that I had to learn on the first day, 2 weeks ago. Anyway, we should all thank Austin and Barry for burying him in the kennel with the others. That was very nice of them. Austin, Barry, please stand up. Austin, a short boy with buzz blonde hair, got to his feet, looking at the walls behind Nathan's head. He was followed by Barry, a round kid with bright red hair and a body flecked from head to toe with freckles. An awkward silence ran through the group. Clap, everyone, Nathan barked. Nathan led by example with an explosive round of clapping. With all the enthusiasm his growing anger would allow, he was soon followed by a slow and rhythmless round of applause. The sound faded as soon as Nathan stopped clapping his own hands. And that was the bit.
I was like, you know, yeah, I want you to keep going there. I was just going like sinking in with my drink and, you know, I was like, keep going, keep going. But, yeah, you know, what you said about, you know, you're not a good public reader, which I am just awful about. But,
yeah, she is. I agree. She's bloody awful. Never get Xena to read anything for you, ever. She's terrible.
Looking right now for a narrator for Kitzer House, so that's going to be exciting. We're going to hear that in audiobook, hopefully not too long, and it's always so exciting. It is, yeah,
right.
Yeah. So,
how many audiobooks do we have now? People ask me, and I think the last time I asked you it was about 50, I think, and that was probably 2 years ago. So how many have we got now?
Yeah, there's...
You don't know, do you? She doesn't know. Listener, she doesn't know. No idea.
I can look here just really, really fast. 92 is what we have right now.
Seriously? Because, you know, I was doing something the other day, and we've got like 160 titles now. I'm sat there thinking, how? Because I love to tell the story. When we started Hellbound, we had five titles, two of which were mine, just to make the numbers up. And we had one was yours. I think the other two. One was Carlos. Carlos Colon. I think David O'Ane Hughes. Both of whom are still with us. Dave is still churning out some tremendous stuff. And so literally five, but on that, I think I was writing up ISBN numbers, and 160 titles, and it's like, what? How did that happen? So 90 odd audiobooks, that is phenomenal.
And there's some in production right now for audiobooks that are just, I'm so excited for these ones, like, you know, because you grow and things, you know, get better the more you do it.
Yeah.
So we have a couple of titles right now that are being made, and I am so excited. Like, it's so much fun. I get to, you know, listen to these narrators and stuff, you know, for work, which is amazing. So much fun.
Yeah.
So,
nice, you know, and it would be, again, you're back to having the luxury of time. You know, some of our early titles, you know, part of me would like to go back and give them a bit of a polish up and what have you. But then again, you know, because I have some of the older ones on my shelf here, and, you know, you look at it, as far as, you know, production values and what have you, they're a little bit rough and ready, so I have to say some of our early ones, the anthologies. But then again, it's like the same reason I don't go back to my early work and redo that. And I know some authors will do that. You know, they're like frozen in history, that part of history. You know, that's where they were. That's where they are, you know. I'm not one for looking backwards, as you well know. I don't know. But in fact, funny enough, I have to say, I'm actually working with Trev Kennedy over here. That's in Ireland, bless him. And he's the curator of Phantasmagorica magazine, I believe. And he curated Made in Britain years, and it was actually, I think, one of the last published, last times Guyen Smith was published before he died. Always a big fan of Guyen Smith as well, so I was thrilled to be. So we're actually going to revamp that.
Yeah.
I'm putting another story in it. He's putting another story. So we're going to have a couple of new stories in it. We're going to redo the cover, polish up just tidy up the inside a little bit. And it'll be the first time we've actually done that and actually republished as a second edition.
Yeah, that's really...
So it'd be exciting.
Exciting.
You know, to be fair, now, because it was one of our early ones, and I think now with a little bit farther down the line, it has the potential to do better. So,
definitely.
You know, we're getting a bit of a following over him back in England, obviously, you know. I'm across the pond. I'm amongst, you know, like three people over there, I'm a bit of a celebrity, you know. I've got it's funny. I don't think you should be listening because it's bedtime over there. My first serious girlfriend from middle school. I mean, we sort of connected on Facebook, and she's like, "Oh, I've never known anybody famous before." And I said, "Well, not really, but you are. You're famous." You know, your name's on books and shit. And it's like, so I'll take it where I can, you know. But
you should sign one and send it to her. Yeah.
I did that already, yeah.
Nice.
And then she treasures it. I think she sleeps with it under a pillow, I feel, you know.
So, Alex, I was wanting to ask you, do you just write short stories, or are you working on a novel right now, or do you just, you know?
I actually just finished my first novel.
Oh, yeah?
I did. It was a lot different than writing short stories, and now I just, now I'm just sort of hanging out with it, like, well, what the hell do I do with it? We're just sort of hanging out together right now.
When you say it's a lot different, which do you prefer?
I feel like because I'm more comfortable with the short story right now, also like with the short story, you can just sort of get to the action and, you know, roll with that. Also, I think you have to be a little bit more creative on how you, because you don't really have the time or the space to really build a character, so you have to like sort of have a character that grabs your attention almost immediately. But with novels, I will say what I preferred about writing a novel was that you really got to, you sort of think about your characters every day, and that's what I was going through. I was thinking about my characters all the time, and like, it's crazy that if you think about a situation, you just know, you know automatically what your characters would do in that situation. So that part was fun, but it was definitely a challenge, and I hope it's good.
Now, do you find, you know, when you've written those words, the end, at the end, do you still hear your character? Like, does he still, you know, I don't know, haunt you, kind of, you know?
Definitely. Because there wasn't a whole bunch of characters in the novel, really just, I would say, like, three main ones, and of course some side characters and stuff like that, and I thought I liked writing that, especially as a first novel, because I don't think I could have tried to keep so many characters straight, even if I wanted to. I would have run into so many plot holes. But, all the time I still think about them, and I loved them, even the horrible ones. I thought they were great, great people to think about anyway.
Well, I'm going to say we are going to take a short break right now, so don't go anywhere, and I think we're going to be right back.
We'll be right back after these messages, as they say in professional land.
Panic Room Radio Show is sponsored by Hellbound Books, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher along with links to all their available works across platforms at hellboundbookspublishing.com. Hellbound Books is proud to be the first in the indie publishing business with their very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. In the mood for something steamy to read, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com, and Xtina has an author page found on the Hellbound website. Don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page, unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website at www.panicroomradio.com.
Thank you.
Welcome back to part two.
Well, the audience have gone home. They've gone home. Well, you know, I don't blame them. It's getting late. So, one of my favorites, you know, it's funny. I was just thinking about that song the other day because I was watching Shrek 2 with my daughter, and they play that song, not that version, but the original by the Buzzcocks. And I was thinking, I haven't heard the original. And I remember... Fine Young Cannibals did a great version of it as well in the 80s, but that from the 70s, an absolute fucking classic. So there you go. So, and then it popped up, which is nice. So anyway, it is, before we get back to Alex, it's that time of the evening where we say...
Oh, hey, looks like it's time to review something. Oh, no.
And we have a look at Samantha. Hello. Hello. How are you? How lovely are you this evening, Samantha? On a scale of one to ten, how lovely would you say you are this evening?
Oh gosh, probably we're not good. Our car's in the shop. The kids won't listen. It's raining. My wind chimes won't quit blowing, and I'm standing outside.
Let's just wind back. So the wind chimes. who purchased the wind chimes?
You know, my husband bought these when we moved into this apartment, because when we moved in, everybody had like real nice like flower hanging baskets and stuff like that. So he bought them and they were really cute in the beginning, but now none of us can reach them and they're really freaking loud. And so when like windstorms come through, constant clanking.
Why do people buy that shite? I mean, for goodness sake, why?
I'm starting to feel like a flower basket would have been much more appropriate, because these things really get to me.
You know, it's like buying a car deliberately with a squeaky wheel. I mean, why do that? Why put yourself through that?
I have cars with squeaky wheels. Ours is squeaking, and it got left at the shop overnight. So now I'm just staring out here at the empty parking lot because my car's not here.
Day for Samantha.
It's funny, actually. My agent in New York, he's got a Camry, I think it is, and it's had this noise. He had a fender bender, and he fixed it, and man, it's got this strange whistling noise, and this has been going on for like a year now, and it's back and forth to the shop, and we can't find this fucking noise. It's back in again. It's just, I said, Larry, I just get a new car, mate. Oh no, just seriously, just they will not find this whistle. Yeah, it would be easy just to get a new car.
You know, I honestly think that I would enjoy a whistle. We have a fluid leak, but the fluid leak is so slow that they can't find the leak. So we left it there overnight. Open in the morning, there would be like a puddle, so they could tell us where it's leaking from, because it's like transmission fluid. But they're going to go in the morning.
Oh, right.
And be like,
yeah, you don't
want to
be
here.
You don't want to be. What are you reviewing for us this evening, lovely Samantha?
I cracked open the Kith or Hell book, but I started at Alex's story to work my way back so I could review his story for him. And I liked that it was about dogs, because I kind of feel how he does in the book, where he's like talking about the like. When the kid goes to kill his parents, he's like, you know, I don't know who the dogs would side with. Would they side with me, or would they would like protect his parents? You know, so he leaves them outside so he doesn't have to worry about them. And I think that's an interesting thought, because dogs are finicky like that. Like, you can have a dog for 30 years and it'd be your best friend, and then out of nowhere, it like changes sides. You know what I mean? And
really?
Like, it gives like major Pet Sematary vibes. Nathan reminds me of the kid off Pet Sematary. Those are the vibes that I got.
Oh, wow, that's neat.
Yeah, no, I love the title of the anthology, because kids are hell. They're not fun. Like, my kids today, they're free to a good home, because they don't listen and they hate all the food in the house.
I like to say that our that we have, you know, four dogs now, and it's just crazy sometimes. And I like to say occasionally that our dogs are free to an adequate home. I don't even say a good home. It's just it's an adequate home.
I like that.
You know, but, it's like I actually I don't own pets now since we have kids. I just don't have time. You know, my husband wants a dog,
yeah.
but it's not going to be him caring for it. So I'm like a hard absolutely not happening. But it was funny because I've always had dogs, and I was reading through this story, and it's like, you know, that really is true. Like my when I was a kid, we had a dog that was really protective over my mom. But when the dog started to pass away, she became like really protective over my dad. So it was dogs are just weird. And then you add in, you know, this random kid on a killing streak, and who knows, you know, how the kid's going to condition the dog to react.
Oh gosh. I know you haven't had a chance to read it all yet, or is James falling? What's he doing over there? Anyway, so I'm just saying I can't wait till you're done so I can find out, you know, what you would rate this book and definitely Alex's story. So you'll definitely have to tell me maybe next week. And
I had it on the calendar for March, so I'm hoping if I give it like a week or two, I'll have it done. The table of contents looks really good. I noticed that James wraps up the anthology, so I'm curious.
Yeah,
I
do. My story is fantastic. If I do say so myself, it is brilliant.
I don't know, James.
So,
after reading some of your stuff, I go in very scared. I don't know if I'm going to get like Colton Forte vibes or if it's more like Flanagan.
I tell you, it's completely different again. I think it will creep you out. I think you'll like it. Seriously, when you read it, let me know. I think you'll like it.
Yes, I will, definitely.
Thank you so much, Samantha. I can't wait to see what you have for us next week. And hopefully you have a better week than you did this week. Hopefully we all do.
Get rid of the wind chimes, then you will have a better week. That's a good base to start from. No wind chimes, okay? Life hack from Jimbo there. So we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
I'm going to bring Alex back on. And Alex, do you have wind chimes?
No, but I got a snake, I guess. They're similar in some way.
Not the same. The snakes are better than wind chimes. Yeah, well, it's funny. Xtina and I are snake people, too. So what snake do you have?
It's a ball python.
Yay!
They are the best.
Yeah. We could talk about ball pythons. How many eggs Eggstein has got? I think she's got about 300 now. She's just really gone stupid with this. How many have you got now? Is it four?
We have four, but there's five that live here. The one's just not ours. It's my daughter's. So, but we have four. Yeah.
Wow.
And I love them. Yes, it is. It's funny when we were talking about perhaps like moving a couple, you know, weeks ago. That was definitely a thought. Everywhere we, you know, look for a house, I'm like, it's got to have enough room. You know, each snake has its own enclosure and they're, you know, decent size. And that takes up a lot of space. It really does.
Yeah.
So, I think we need a snake room, you know,
for
the snakes.
But you don't because you want them with you. There's not, we thought when we moved, we could have put all the animals in one. But, well, no, my daughter has hers. She's got a snake and a lizard and a frog and a ferret. And we just bought two rats as well. We've got little baby rats. So they're the most adorable things on the planet. I have my snake is actually, because it's good because I've got my bedroom, right, suite. And then there's a little, I think they call it like a dressing area or like a whatever. It's got like a little built-in, unit thing, and my snake's on there, so he's actually got the space between the bathroom and my room, and it's just the perfect space for him, which is great, you know. So they're part of the family, you know. You gotta have them with you. My babies.
Yeah,
so much better than children as well, I have to say.
Yes, they never talk back. They're wonderful. Yeah. And with ball pythons, they're never going to get big enough that they can really take you out, I don't think. You know what I mean?
Really, no, they shouldn't do. No.
Yeah. You can always, over. And that's another thing, with our scary dog story here. I have little bitty dogs. So, even if they would, go mad and try to attack me, you just hold it out and it can't. The puppy, James, he sometimes goes on this rampage where he just wants to bite everything. And he's so hyper. I just pick him up and hold him in the air and he's, stuck. That's all. He just stops biting because he knows he can't do anything now. It's kind of pathetic, but it makes me laugh every time because I'm like, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do? And he's nothing.
Yeah,
he's
big guy.
So, big guy.
Not so tough now, are you? Mm.
Exactly. He's just a baby, and it's hilarious. Yeah, so. Mm. Yeah.
All the big dogs I've had have been stupid. They're just they're sweet, but they're so dumb. You know what I mean? They can't help themselves. I don't know how they eat, but they manage to. But I love them all the best.
Yeah, animals are great. They really are. They're so much better than people. I definitely
yes,
will say
they are.
That.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, I had a question for horror fans here. Has anyone seen the Grady Hendrix's what's it called? My Best Friend's Exorcism. It's a new movie on Amazon Prime. Which I was like, what? I read the book last year and I thought it was amazing.
I heard such terrible things about the film. No, I haven't watched it.
I watched it last week and I didn't hate it. I mean, I definitely wish there had been the book. I loved, absolutely loved it. It was just filled with, 80s nostalgia, and, that's when I was kind of, in my teens, was the late 80s, and it was just, so the book was great. The movie was cute. I didn't hate it. I thought it was interesting. We had, and then the other movie that is coming out, or I think it's out now, of the Paul Tremblay's The Cabin at the End of the Woods. The movie is called something different.
Knock on the Cabin Door or something. It's on a list of things to watch. And I used to like M. Night Shyamalan, he produced some absolute shite. But because it's Paul Tremblay, and I've heard some good things about this, I watched Old, which I think was his last film, which was the most god-awful piece of shite I've ever seen. That's my, my unbiased opinion. Because it's Paul Tremblay, who obviously, I think we've probably had him on the show before now.
We did.
You know, I've heard good things, so I'm going to give it a go. And seriously, if this doesn't live up to it, I will never, ever watch an M. Night movie as long as I live ever again, ever, ever.
I'm excited to watch it. But yeah, we had him on. He talked about that book. So that's, I'm even more excited now. And, I have been trying now for about 2 years to get Grady Hendrix on the show. And we exchange emails back and forth. And he's always like, I'm busy until this time, and go ahead and message me and I'll come on, and then I'll message him. He's like, oh, I'm so busy. So I'm still trying. I have my fingers crossed, because when I read in My Best Friend's Exorcism, I was just that was fabulous. I love that.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to get him on. So
you should keep nagging.
Yeah,
keep nagging. It does work. I mean, you nag. I mean, we managed to get Ramsay Campbell on, which was phenomenal. So
that was wonderful. Let's
see. So, Alex, are you a movie horror movie fan or?
I love them. I too much actually. I think I spend too much time watching them.
Never spend too much time. No.
Right.
Especially just the 70s, 80s, slasher classics. I watch those like almost every day.
Wow. Like, do you have a favorite?
Halloween. Oh, Halloween. Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah. It's the classic, you know what I mean? Just like you can't beat Halloween, just the way it's shot. It's just, yeah. It's fun every single time, the music. It's damn near the first movie. Love.
Now, what do you think about the Rob Zombie reboot?
Oh, no. No.
Well, really, I enjoyed them. I really did. I thought they were good.
Go ahead.
Oh, I just like, there's something about it that just makes me angry. And he spent like the whole movie just like explaining, it's like explaining a joke. It's like you explain, like what was scary about Michael Myers was like the mystery. You don't know why he does it. He just does it. And he went and explained it. Now I don't like it.
Okay, I can see that. I can see that. I did like the movies. I do think it's funny. We had it was actually Jeff Strand. He's been on the show numerous times, but I remember the first time I asked him about the Rob Zombie Halloween, and he was like, "It physically makes me ill."
Yeah.
he hated it so much, and
he did.
I actually kind of
like
it.
I think it has been very polarizing like that. You either love it or hate it. For me, because they did give it, it gave it more depth for me. It gave Jason more depth.
Me too.
Not Jason.
Michael.
Sorry. Michael Myers.
Michael.
Gave him more depth. Michael. Sorry. It's late. I'm tired. It added to it. But I get that. I mentioned Jason with the Friday the 13th, the slashers. Some of them just a mindless carnage is what you go for. You don't want backstory. You don't want to humanize the demon killer, you know. But right. Halloween, the original Halloween, and I remember watching it many, many years ago. And I mean, Donald Pleasance, a great, great British actor, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It really spawned the genre pretty much.
Absolutely.
And it was near perfect, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What were you about to say?
Oh, you're going to be mad when I have to say it. We are just about out of time for our show.
Oh, okay.
But you have to promise to come back.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Yay. I was thinking about getting a show together with some of the other contributors to Kids Are Hell as well. So that would be a lot of fun. So,
does that mean I can be on it then? That'd be great. I'd like
you
that.
Can. Yeah, you can. Yeah.
I'll be on it. I'll come on.
I'll invite you first. So
Thank
Alex,
you.
Real quick, tell us where we can find you online.
I do have a Facebook. I'm not very good at social media, but I do have a Facebook, just Alex Reed, and then R-E-I-D, and then I have, you know, my Amazon author page, but that's about it. I need to probably start getting out there more. I just hate computers.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. So for all of our listeners out there, you can find Alex Reed's story, Nathan's House in Kids Are Hell, an anthology put out by Hellbound Books. And go out there and read it. And so, thank you, Alex, so much. And I can't wait to have you back on.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us. Speak to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, time has beaten us yet again. And it is, I'm afraid, time to say good night, Xtina.
Good night, Xtina.
Good night.